Auto financing the easy way.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Good morning to you, one and all of you liberty lovers and ecclesiastics. Yes, it is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is, Thursday, August number 9 in the year of our Lord, 2018. August 9 already. 9. That doesn't mean no in English. It is the ninth day of the month of August, named after Caesar Augustus of ancient Rome. Yeah, it's just amazing how fast time flies. You know, one thing about summer is that whenever you measure your summer by the weekends, you always say, well, you want to do summery things, you know, summertime things, but you only have so many weekends. And that really becomes apparent when you get into the month of August, and you start realizing, okay, well, we can do it next week. And then you realize, whoa, geez, we only got, you know, 3 weekends left. And for some, unfortunately, for some of you out there, you don't have 3 weekends. You have 2, this weekend and next weekend, maybe, because it's back to school time for a lot of people sometime in late August. Yeah, usually that third week of August, there are a lot of people that are going back to school, college students, even in some places, some parts of the country, you know, elementary and you know, primary and secondary schools are heading back to school that last week in August. The week, some are as many as 2 weeks before Labor Day. I never understood that. Why? By the way, whatever happened to the notion of having school all year round with like a 2 week break in between so you could change grades? You ever remember that? They tried to come up with all of these different scenarios and things about how to improve our education. One of those was, I remember distinctly, they once talked about having school all year round. And one of the reasons for having school all year round is because they claim that you forget a lot. Students forget, kids forget a lot of what they learned over the summer. And, well, I don't know how they think by staying in school they're going to memorize it. If they're not, the whole point of losing it or forgetting it is because you're not using it. So if you go ahead and take a different type of math, well, I guess maybe because you're not using the old math, you might forget it. And if a kid forgets what 3 times 3 is, well, that's a problem. Not on the teaching part, but the kid's part. Maybe he didn't learn it to begin with. But there are all kinds of reasons to try to close the gap. The real answer to this, folks, simple, is just go back to teaching the 3 R's. Maybe if they spent actual classroom time on teaching, kids wouldn't be getting so dumb. But they don't. They try to get kids to memorize, rote memorize. You know, teaching to the test is what they say. Trying to teach them about how to answer test. You know, standardized. How many standardized tests do kids have to take every day or every year? We used to take. Anybody remember the Iowa test? I think we took those like in fourth grade, maybe 6th and 8th. I think. It wasn't every year, and it wasn't multiple times per year. Now there's like the Iowa test, the Oklahoma test, the Alaska test, and this test, and that test, and the standard test, and the unstandard test, and It's ridiculous. I mean, some of my friends are, I have friends that are teachers, and they tell me how ridiculous it is, how much time that they have to, how much classroom time they have to take preparing kids for the test. It shouldn't be preparing kids for the test. They should be being tested on what they actually learn. If you're going to use all these stupid tests, don't teach kids to take the test. Just teach them. And the test should reflect what they're supposed to have learned in a regular classroom. You know, these tests are all phony. Oh, we're improving our scores, our test scores. Yeah, they're still not learning jack. They're improving the test scores because teachers are getting better at teaching the kids how to take the test and pass it. They're still not learning anything. So I don't believe in all those tests. But anyway, it's another sunny morning here this Thursday morning in the northern climes of New England after a wondrous, if you want to call it wondrous, thunderstorm night. Had some thunder boomers roll in. Actually saw a couple of bolts. That was pretty cool. I don't think I've seen a bolt this year. That was the first time this year I've seen a bolt. But it wasn't, hey, we still got the forest fire danger at moderate here. Now, granted, this is people are starting to report. Just saw it this morning. People are starting to report flooded basements. Now, you don't get flooded basements around here in most places until the ground gets saturated. And we've got, a lot of people have these old rubble foundations and stone foundations, and they've stood the test of time. You know, a lot of houses around here are 100-plus years old. And the only time water gets into these basements because of how they were built, even with the rubble, is if the ground gets saturated. And the ground only gets saturated if it rains too damn much. If it rains too hard and it's not soaking in and washes off and creates, flash floods, that's one thing. That means the ground doesn't get saturated. But we've had so much rain, hard and soft and soaking and not soaking, all kinds of rain over the past 2-3 weeks now. The ground is getting pretty damn saturated. And now water's starting to get into people's basements because it has no place to drain to. So that's going to be that's always an issue. It happens with these old rubble foundations. The water starts to come in after there's been too much rain. But hey, we're still at moderate fire danger. I'm thinking about just going over to the fire department and asking, well, what's going to make it low? 3 more weeks of rain? By the way, there is no more water shortage in the northern climes of New England. No, there's not. In fact, now they're seriously talking about some low-lying places have to watch, not for flash flooding. We had some last night, I guess, but low-lying areas could see some minor flooding as the rain makes its way to rivers and streams over the next couple of days through the ground and aquifers. I don't know about you, but flooding should mean low fire danger. It means things are wet and not dry. Although we have sent some a couple dozen firefighters from here are heading out to California to help them fight a truly devastating wildfire out in that part of the country. I hope they're able to get it under control. Now out there, it's dry. And it's dry because it's desert-like weather out there. That's what it's normally like, by the way. I mean, people are trying to say, well, climate change is causing California to be dry. Well, no, not really. California has typically been pretty dry. Most of California, especially where the forest fires are. And the only reason you don't have forest fires in some places in Southern California is because there are no trees. Why? Because it's a desert. That's why. There's not really much brush or trees because it's a desert and it's all sand. And I'm surprised people don't understand that aspect. Well, it's dry down here. We could get a forest fire down here in southern LA and you could wipe out LA and in San Diego. I'm like, no, it can't. What are you talking about? It's dry. Yeah, it's a desert. meaning it's mostly sand. There isn't a whole hell of a lot of vegetation and undergrowth or overgrowth to catch fire. Well, you know, houses could catch fire. Well, that would be a different story then. It's not a wildfire then. You get a house fire, that's probably because of, most likely not because of nature. You know, Mother Nature hitting buildings usually doesn't cause them to burst into flames anymore. But, you know, we have all sorts of ways of preventing that. When a lightning strikes a building, it just usually passes the building into the ground and leaves the building unscathed, even your typical suburban house. House fires are almost always caused by man. I mean, sometimes there truly might be a short in the wire that people, you know, didn't do anything to. It just wasn't either built right. Well, it's still done by man because it wasn't built properly or made properly. There was a flaw in the design or something. So it's not wildfires. It's a house fire. It's a difference. And it's been a long time since a single house fire has sparked and blazed an entire community. I'm just saying. You know, we don't get fires like, you remember the Chicago, well, none of us were alive, so the Chicago fire, we don't get those anymore. That doesn't tend to happen. Because of our building codes, our fighting equipment, and the training of the firemen, and firefighting techniques have all modernized, as we like to say. And, you know, it's getting to the point now where, you know, you can be in an inner city. You know how close some inner city lots are or homes. And you can have one house that is completely gutted and destroyed by fire, and the two houses next on either side of it aren't even scorched. Maybe if they have vinyl siding, maybe the vinyl siding is melted. But other than that, they're not even scorched. Why? Because of our firemen, the well-trained, and the equipment they get to use. That wasn't available, you know, back during the Chicago fire days. So all this stuff prevents that kind of a spread. And even modern building techniques and stuff prevents fires from spreading fast or getting too hot. So they're all things put in place to prevent that from happening. So we don't even have, you know, massive block fires anymore. It does happen on rare occasion. But typically it doesn't really do a lot of damage to surrounding structures. It can, and it has, but it doesn't typically do that. Anyway, this morning, the Rev Rod is scheduled to be here. He said he was going to be here this morning, come into the bunkerized studio. In the meantime, while we're trying to get to that, we have all of this primary analysis nonsense from Tuesday. Democrats are claiming to be more optimistic than ever about the midterm election. Why? Because they lost. Folks, I have never, ever seen what I saw yesterday in the news. Yeah, Democrats lost, but we look at it as a win. And they're calling the Ohio thing a tie. There is no tie in politics. There is no tie in elections. There's going to be a winner. And it looks like it's going to be the Republican. Now, by the way, you know, they were also touting, and I found this interesting that nobody on the left seemed to pick this up, obviously, because otherwise they wouldn't have reported it as such. But they're claiming that in Ohio, in the 12th district, 90% of the registered Democrats showed up to vote. Well, first of all, it means that there's not a whole hell of a lot of Democrats. And even though there were 90% of them, they still couldn't beat this guy handedly. Well, and they claim only 40% of Republicans showed up. Again, if 90% of Democrats showed up and voted, which is a ridiculously high number, especially for a special election. They better check every single one of those votes to the vote rolls and then make sure every single one of those people are legal citizens and alive. I'm not joking. You know, well, I guess a special election, so they can't take that much time. They're only gonna the person who wins is only gonna serve 3 months, I guess, until they have to be reelected, I guess. But they better check it. Better check the voting rolls. Because only 40% of Republicans evidently came to the polls. And they're trying to say, see, there's no enthusiasm on the Republican side, but there's all this enthusiasm on the Democrat side. Do the math. Even if 100% of eligible registered Democrats came out to vote, you know there's going to be more than 40% in November of Republicans. And if 40% can beat 90%, what do you think 50 or 60% is going to do to 90 or 100%? Yeah, it's going to beat them. Exactly. But somehow those idiots on CNN spun this to be a win for the Democrats. It's a tie. No, there's no tie. It's going to be one person that sits in that seat. Not two. It's not going to be, they're not going to be co-representative. It's going to be one. Well, it's a tie. It's a flip-up. You can't name a winner. It's a tie. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, this is another one of those hard lessons of life for leftists. You know, who want to get a trophy just for showing up. Okay, you know what? I'll give the Democrat a small trophy. Thanks for showing up. Now go home. You lost. I mean, honestly, did they think people are just going to say, well, are going to demand that they share the seat? That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to ask for it, demand it. Least of all Democrats. They don't like to share anything, man. Oh, they'll share your stuff, but they won't share their own. So primary night takeaways for the Democrats is there's awesome optimism as women advance. And now there's this big thing about women. Women, women, women. Who cares? I don't care what their gender is. I'll tell you why they're saying this, by the way, folks. It isn't because they're excited that women could, you know, have more, there could be more females in Congress than ever before after this midterm. That's not the real, you know, woo, get you old white man. Now there's a bunch of ladies in charge. That's not it. They're making room for the whole transgender thing. Now, I think I had a story here about some transgendered person running, the first transgendered. There's also the first gay Native American is running. The first female Muslim is running. Why do they have to keep saying this stuff? I don't care. If you're white, black, red, yellow, purple, blue, doesn't matter. And by the way, there were quite a few firsts in the Republican side, but you guys on the left don't even acknowledge that kind of stuff. You don't acknowledge it. And you don't even really acknowledge the real first. Like Barack Obama is the first clean and intelligent black candidate for president. Well, I don't know. It was Alan Keyes and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Those, you know, names from both sides of the political aisle. They weren't clean and intelligent? Okay, well, I know the intelligence quotient for Al Sharpton might be questionable. And I know Jesse Jackson often sound like a mushmouth, but Jesse Jackson was an intelligent man. Jesse Jackson used to walk with Martin Luther King, stood by his side, literally. Jesse Jackson isn't dumb. He's manipulative, but he's not dumb. And I know for a fact he's pretty damn clean. I'm sure he takes a shower every day. Alan Keyes, Republican. There's a clean, smart man. Everybody knows that, too. And then of course, there is Herman Cain, another intelligent man. But according to some people on the left, Barack Obama was the first clean and intelligent candidate. I'm going to take that to mean that's racist code for he don't sound black. Barack Obama, first president, don't sound black. And let me tell you, whenever I hear Barack Obama get into his black accent mode, his urban accent, I wonder where he gets it from, because he grew up in Hawaii and Indonesia. I am sure the brothers were not down for the struggle in Hawaii and Indonesia. Just saying. Now, I could be wrong. I've never been to Indonesia. could be bunches of black brothers in Indonesia. The Americans are down with the struggle, man. You know, fight the power. Fight the power. They could have neighborhoods like that in Indonesia. I don't know. I've never been there. Got to be honest about it. But somehow I don't think Barack grew up in that neighborhood. Didn't he change his name to Barry that time? I don't get this whole Barry Satoru thing. What the hell is all that about? I've tried to figure it out, and it just confuses me. So he went from Barack to Barry, but Barry is not an Indonesian name. So why would he choose Barry and then go back to Barack? Well, I know I went back to Barack because Barack doesn't sound like Barry. Well, it does sound like Barry, but Barry is white. Barry is a very white name. Unlike Barack. Now, never heard of the name Barack before Barack Obama, so just saying. But I don't get all the name flipping and changing it through his life. Now, did he really change his name to Barry and then change it back? I don't know. Didn't bother to find out. Wasn't interested. I just said just until just now, I just thought of it. Just really ridiculous. Democrats are losing this race. And they are thrilled about it. The party, the Democrat Party, and even some Republicans say the results in Ohio suggest the GOP will have trouble holding on to its House majority this fall. Well, first of all, it's just Ohio. Second of all, it was a special election, which is not really an arbiter of what actually happens during regular elections. We get this all the time, especially for primaries. You see, there oftentimes primaries, the vote tally or vote numbers of primaries do not equal the votes cast during the actual real election. And they always forget this. Not to mention, they always forget that throughout history, since they've been keeping track of this kind of stuff, and they've got a few elections under their belts to figure this out, that usually after the first 2 years of a president's term, one body of Congress flips parties. So in other words, the party who is not in power in the White House, in most midterm elections, gains seats in Congress. And that's pretty normal. For whatever reason, that's pretty normal. Don't know. You know, a lot of speculation because people, you know, they want balance, or people get actually see what the president's about, and then they don't like what he's done. Other than you being a liberal nut job, a leftist nut job, I don't know anybody who doesn't like what Donald Trump is doing as far as the results of what's come of them. You know, more jobs, higher paying jobs. Well, I guess there are some people out there that might be upset about all the new jobs being created out there because they can't. Now they have no excuse for sitting at home on their ass and collecting food stamps and welfare. Now they got to get out and work because, hey, there are jobs available. When unemployment's high, there are no jobs available, so they can sit at home and play video games. When unemployment is extremely low, they can't sit at home because there's too many jobs available. And even if they try to screw up an interview, they usually get hired at some point by somebody to do something. Okay, so I can see how some people might be upset.
You're listening to The Rodical Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Here at Tide, we want to revolutionize the taste, texture, and look of your everyday laundry detergent snack. We've mixed three different definitely non-toxic chemicals together in one package of dumb American, well, food. The chemicals work together to give your taste buds a deep cleaning of pure refreshment and whatever else this piece of tastes like. You know, I would prefer some pizza rolls, but I guess everyone else in America is eating these. Just listen to this lady we're about to cut to.
Are you trying to make an after-school snack for your kids every day, but you just suck at cooking, or you're broke so you can't buy food? Well, there's a cheap alternative.
Fun fact, Tide Pods prevent cancer.
And once you're done eating that garbage, you just close the lid and put it back in the shelf. Even though you're going to take it down again in 0.27 seconds because they're so good.
Tide Pods. I'm loving it.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5 plus 2 equals perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Thank you. that seem to think that even when they lose, they win. And they try to come up with all these different scenarios and numbers, and they try to make themselves feel better. Now, every time I listen to these people, which isn't all that often that I do, but I have to go over and I have to listen to things like MSNBC and CNN in order to get their take, so I can tell you exactly what they're saying and what they're thinking. I use that term loosely. And I find it amazing that now they're trying to spin a loss, a potential loss in Ohio. And again, evidently it's too close to call in Ohio. And in a way, that is a win for Democrats. I can see why they're taking the high road in that, saying, yeah, look, because this was before this was easily a Republican seat. But it hasn't always been, not to mention the district includes Columbus, Ohio, which is heavily Democratic. But now the Democrats are complaining because of the gerrymandering of the districts, that the outlying, the suburban and rural areas tend to be very Republican, where all the Democrats seem to be clustered in the cities. Well, even if the districts are district lines are kind of gerrymandered and wiggly wonky all over the place, which they are, and that's in every state, by the way. Both Republicans and Democrats have screwed up this whole process of drawing district lines for their advantage. I get it. I know it. Both sides have done it. Both are guilty, heavily guilty. But is it the problem of the Republicans that Democrats want to crowd themselves into cities? And Republicans want to spread their wings out in suburban and rural areas? Well, I mean, in many cities, those with lower incomes or less money tend to congregate in cities because it's cheaper to live in the city. And in many, many cities across the country, they're in the city neighborhoods tend to be cheaper than suburban neighborhoods or rural neighborhoods. Well, there's really no such thing as a rural neighborhood, because your nearest neighbor, if you're a farmer or something, might be a mile down the road, but you get the point. Yeah, it costs more to live in a suburb, because because most places that have suburbs, the transportation, public transportation is all not that great. So you got to have your own vehicle. Well, that's changing, because now Uber and Lyft and other ride-hailing services are becoming very, very popular. But it's still going to cost you to get anywhere. City, if you can't walk, you can take the subway or the bus. So there is a reason that Democrats tend to congregate in cities. One, because they're idiots. Two, because they're cheap bastards. They don't want to spend a whole lot. And three, because most of our nation's poor, believe it or not, live in the city. And those poor people getting those welfare checks and food stamps every month, after being told after years and years and years that Republicans, rich Republicans, want to take your kids' lunch away. They want to, school lunch. They want to take your SNAP away. They want to take Social Security benefits and cut them and take them away from you. And so a lot of these inner city Democrats have bought that narrative. But people in the outskirts, in the suburbs, in the rural areas, a lot of them see their money going into the city anyway and being wasted. So that's why they're Republican, because Republicans don't want to waste their money, their tax money. And two, because they realize they moved out to the suburbs to be free of all the things that usually come along with big cities, which is a lot of government regulation too. A lot of rules. You can't play your music too loud after 10 o'clock on a weekday or something, because a noise ordinance or this ordinance or that ordinance. And people want to move away from that. People who want to live freely and more simply want to move away from that kind of garbage. Don't blame them. But this is how Democrats want to spin things. If they stopped trying to spin and actually just looked at things truthfully, it would help them tremendously. Now, I'm glad that they're not doing it, to tell you the truth. They're just letting their idiocy run rampant. I probably shouldn't say anything. But I am glad that the Democrats really still don't get it. A loss is a loss, not a win, no matter how close the loss is. Now, you can measure it by saying, okay, the last time, you know, we lost by 10 points, and this time we lost by 5 points. So we're getting closer, but we're still not winning yet. So what is our message got to be for us to be able to win? We're getting closer, folks, but we're not there yet. We haven't won the horse race. But no, instead of doing that, which normal people would do, they would try to handle, can you imagine a coach, you know, of a basketball team always having a problem with one team? They can't seem to beat them, and they play a game and say, oh, man, you know, this was a win for us. Coach, we lost by 20 points. Yeah, but last time we lost by 30, man. This is a win. It's almost a tie. The players aren't going to look at it that way. They're going to look at, what is he, daft? We lost. The coach should say, you know what, we've improved. We came closer tonight than we did the last time we faced these guys. But we've got to work on some stuff. We've got to figure out how to stop this guy on their team or that guy on their team or counteract that part of their offense or defense or what have you. They got to look at things and analyze and say, you know, we didn't win. We're getting better, but we didn't win. Coaches don't spin a loss into a win. I've never had a coach that spun a loss into a win. Never. You know, he might take us back in the locker room and say, you know, we've improved. We've gotten better. But there's stuff we need to work on, man. We lost tonight. We can be better than this. We got to do some, you know, make some changes here, some changes there, do this, you know, be better at this part. And just go down the list. Because we didn't win. We got better, maybe, but we didn't win. And that's what counts. Democrats obviously aren't looking at it this way, which is why it's going to be very difficult for them to win, because they're not figuring out what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. Oh, shit, we almost won, man. It's like a tie, so we won. No, you didn't. Are you even bothering to figure out what it was that helped you gain the votes? And what's holding you back? No, they don't do that. They just run around with the same rhetoric. Oh, you know, maybe we'll change a candidate because somebody who's better looking will have a better chance, I guess, as if all Americans are so shallow. I know Americans seem to love all this reality TV stuff. And does anybody out there really think Kim Kardashian is a beautiful woman? I don't. And I'm not talking about her disproportionate size, you know, derriere either. I'm just basic face construction. I don't find her all that attractive. Actually, I don't find any of their Kardashians or Jenners to be all that attractive. Honestly, maybe it's because they all wear too much makeup and they're too prim and their shampoos are too expensive. I don't know what it is, but I just don't find them attractive. But any case, you know, you got to have something real. The American people aren't going to sit around and you know, they may watch fake stuff on TV like I don't even know how many there are now. Is it the Real House? What is it now? Is it Real Housewives of New York, New Jersey? Was it LA? Or are they all on at the same time? I've seen a couple. I don't know how long these things have been on, but I could name the number. I could count the number of episodes I've seen of those particular shows. I've never seen a full episode of any of them. You know, after about 5 or 10 minutes, I'm just so disgusted, and I'm just like, I can feel myself getting more and more stupid the longer I watch. Honestly, I could actually feel the IQ points being drained from my head. But whenever I've caught a few minutes of any of these things, I don't even know what I watch anymore. I don't know which LA or Housewives program it is. But half that shit is scripted. Because those people are not natural when they deliver their lines. Sorry. The stuff is just, it's overblown, overhyped. But America likes to see that evidently on their television, not in their politics. They want the real thing in their politics. You know, they don't want a fake. They don't want fake stuff. They don't want scripted stuff. They want real people. And if anything, the election of Donald Trump should tell them. And you know what? Even if Donald Trump lost the election, now here's the dumb thing about Democrats that they're not picking up on.
They're famous for this. They're famous for not listening at all to the voter. Even if it was even if it was a close horse race, but you know Hillary squeaked out a winner, you know what they would do? Democrats would say, "Well, this was an overwhelming, this was a mandate by the American people for Hillary to be able to do whatever she wants to do." They wouldn't even consider all of those votes at the from the Democrats. Now, understand, I get it. You know, the winner dominates. I get no matter even if they just win by one, the winner dominates. But usually somebody will take a look at a win and say, boy, that was close. What do we got to do better so it's not this close next time? Because I don't want this, you know, my heart can't take this kind of a race again. Well, Republicans tend to look at those kind of things and say, well, what is it that we missed? What is it that voters were demanding that we weren't giving to them? Republicans are known to do that more often than Democrats. Democrats will spin and say, see, we won. It's a mandate. And the next time the election comes around and they lose big time, they're scratching their head saying, well, we didn't get our message out across I guess. No, you got it out. But see, you didn't pay attention to the election results in the last election where people are telling you, it's not enough, people. It's not enough. You got to do something or come to the table with something different because this isn't enough. If somebody gives us what we want, whether it's even if it's not you, we're going to vote for them. And that's exactly what happens a lot of times when a particular party doesn't pay attention to the voter. They're all stuck on themselves within their own little world, like Democrats tend to be. And then when they lose, they're surprised and shocked and blame Russians. It's typical. So the Democrats are taking this primary in Ohio as a victory, not realizing or probably not even knowing what it is that prompted Democrats to come out. Now, don't say Trump, because Trump is just, he's way too popular in Ohio. I'm sorry, but he is. He's extremely popular. And don't you dare listen to Rosie O'Donnell say that all those people are being paid, because none of them are being paid. Except for maybe the security guards. By the way, there's a story here about the media, like CNN and MSNBC, are boosting security at Trump events. Trump supporters are not Antifa. They may look mean and nasty to fake news. But see, you know, they may try to intimidate you, which seems to work because it's easy to do because, you know, you lamestream media people are just so chicken shit. And they know all they got to do is just look at you wrong. Give you a devil face and you're going to go, ah, they're going to hurt me. I feared for my life. Most conservatives are teddy bears. Now, don't attack them because, you know, then they'll become lions. But most of the time, if they're not provoked, they're just teddy bears. They're not like the reason why the lamestream media gets so scared is because they know what their side does all the time and would do to them. Guarantee you, you know, if they were in the middle of a Hillary campaign and there was somebody where Acosta was standing in Acosta's place, and from Fox, that Fox News correspondent would probably seriously have walked away from that arena with some physical pain. Well, it's happened. We know what these people do. That's why they were scared, because they think everybody's like that. Because they're in their own little bubbleized world. So will they eventually flip this? Now, understand that in most places in this country, seats at one time or another in its history are going to go from one political party to another. And it may not even be Democrat or Republican. It could be anybody. Whoever takes the place of one of these two or both of these parties in the future, it's going to be one of them. No, I do not see a viable replacement party for the Democrats or the Republicans at this time. Can I take this as a, let me take a side note here for a second on parties. I know that people get disillusioned with the current two-party status quo system. I get it. But a third-party candidate wins so rarely that usually what happens is your vote for a third-party candidate is a throwaway vote and is akin to voting for whoever the winner happens to be in that election. See, people don't understand that. They still to this day don't understand. I voted for you know, XYZ party member. Yeah, how much of the vote did he get? He got 2% of the vote. Okay, so he's that party is, you know, pretty much aligned with what? Republicans, not because they're conservative? Yeah, they're libertarian-like. Yeah, so Republicans. Yeah, you know, you realize that the Republican lost by 1.5%. Your guy just took 2% that could have made him win. You voted for the Democrat. I didn't vote for the Democrat. Did the Democrat win? Yeah, you voted for the Democrat. It's that simple. I'm not being anti-third party. I'm saying be careful with these third party people, because if they have absolutely no chance in winning, you've got to look at it and say, well, then why would I throw my vote away? Well, it's not I'm voting my conscience. No, you're not. Because your conscience is logical, or it should be. And logic would dictate that you would vote for the most conservative person that's available to you that can win. It does no good for you to vote for a person that cannot win. But, Rod, we got to make changes somehow. Look, none of these third parties in 175 years, almost 200 years from now, none of these third parties have made a dent in the Democrat or Republican parties. There is not enough movement for a third party. There just isn't. This isn't 1824 or 1850. And you're not going to get there the way people think. Because by the time, well, look at Ross Perot in, 92? He had a chance of really creating a third party. But what happened to all those idiots in that party that supported Ross Perot? Oh, they split up into this party, that party, and they made a bunch of 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th parties. You guys got to stick together. The reason for a party doesn't mean that you have to agree on everything. And some people think that that's the way it happens. Well, we don't believe in that or that, so we're going to form our own party. Well, no, you got to work together. You're not going to believe on it, believe in everything together. Think the Democrats agree on everything? No. But when it comes time for them to coagulate, as it were, they know how to, and coalesce, they know how to do that better than anybody. They're even willing to take in a person who isn't even a member of their party anymore, Bernie Sanders, so they can bring in his voters into the fold. Republicans don't seem to like to do that. And I, for the life of me, can't figure that one out. But yes, your third party vote in most cases is nothing more than a vote for the person who wins, even if it's a Democrat and you have no intent of ever wanting that Democrat to win. Well, if you vote for third party, that's exactly what you're doing. Again, I'm not trying to discount third parties out of existence, but there has got to be a measurement by which you say this vote is just going to be a waste, or there is a movement here, let's build it. Nobody ever seems to build it in the third party realm. And these people, this is why they're spoilers. They continue to run for these offices knowing they have absolutely no chance of winning. And their only reason in getting into the race usually is to take votes away from one candidate or the other. That's it. Now, logic would dictate that you should understand by taking votes away from one candidate, probably the one that's more closely aligned with you, you're automatically giving votes to the candidate that you really don't like. So if you're a person on the right and you're saying, well, I don't particularly like the Republican, I can't stand the Democrat, but I don't like the Republican, so I'm going to run against the Republican. Well, now you're going to get the Democrat elected. Who wins? Not you. You might say, you might become a Democrat and say, well, look, I won because the guy that I didn't like is a Republican nominee. He didn't win. No, but you actually lost because a Democrat who's far worse than that Republican just won because of you. See what I'm saying? I'm not anti-third party. I don't want people to get that notion. I'm saying you got to be very, very careful before you go and become or endorse and support a third party. You better know all your numbers first. It better be logical. Because if it's based on feelings, you're going to lose. Better be based on logic. And it better be building to something greater. And then as you're building to something greater, you better not lose it and just drop it. Again, Ross Perot and the party, well, what did they call the party back then? Ross Perot, I can't remember. He was on to something. He really was. They could have honestly built a third party, and then it just all felt, they just dropped it all. Oh, that's it, we didn't win. No bad, no big deal, we'll just do something different. Well, that's not how parties are formed. That's not how parties come together. And ever since that election in 92, it's been very, very rare for a third party candidate to win. I know we've had a couple of big independent wins, but they've really been Democrats. Connecticut, Lieberman. The Democrats, for whatever reason, were trying to punish Joe Lieberman, so they gave the nomination to a different person in the Democrat Party, and Lieberman said, well, fine, I'll just become an independent, and then he proceeded to clobber both the Republican and the Democrat, taught him a lesson. And Bernie Sanders dropped the Democratic acronym long ago. He said, I'm not a Democrat, I'm going to be an independent. And the old curmudgeon has, you know, really been an independent Democrat ever since. He always caucuses with the Democrats. That never changes. It's only on paper is Bernie Sanders not a Democrat, by the way. He's a registered independent. And, I mean, there's a couple of others around the country that are like that. But they always caucus with Democrats. So they're really Democrats. And being independent is not a third party. That's the whole point. They're not part of a party. They're independent. So you got to put all this stuff together. If you want, I don't know, are there currently any people on a national or even, you know, major state level that are members of a different party other than the major two, or they're not independent? Let me know if there are and who they are. Is there any governors that are third party? I don't think so. Could be.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It was just another quiet Saturday at the Johnson home.
Honey, have you seen the hammer?
It's in the garage.
Oh, no, not the garage.
Later that same day...
Dad, I can't find the bicycle pump.
Son, I'm afraid it's in the garage.
The garage?